Book of Acts, chapter 13, we looked at, the last time we were in the book of Acts, we looked at the message that Paul preached, taking up the majority of this chapter, preached God's word faithfully to them. He gave them a God's gracious warning to this city, to this town. And this morning we're going to look at the response from that message. If you would stand with me for the reading of God's word, we're going to begin this morning at verse number 42 and read down to verse number 52. Acts 13, verse number 42, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the blessing it is that we can gather together this morning. And Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the blessing it is that we have it. Lord, the privilege it is that we can gather here, Father, every week and hear it preached. And Father, I pray that you'd help us understand the privilege that is, that we get to enjoy this morning. Lord, many places around the world, Father, they can enjoy this. They meet in secret. They meet in fear of imprisonment or worse. Lord, we thank you for the blessing it is that we can gather freely to hear your word. And Father, I pray you bless your word to our hearts this morning. I pray that you speak to our hearts. May the Holy Spirit guide in every life. Father, you know the needs that are here, the burdens that people are carrying, the reproof that some may need, the exhortation that others may need. Father, I pray that you would accomplish those things as the word goes forth. And Father, we thank you for what you will do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What a great ending to this time that Paul and Barnabas had here. Just seeing how people responded to the word of God. And we're going to look at maybe another time at all the different responses. This morning we're not focusing in on that. This morning we will look a little bit in verses 42 through 46 at the response of God's word, just in passing. But we consider the attention that was given to the message, really by everyone. They all gave their attention to it. Some did not like what they heard, and others liked what they heard. And we see the craving that some had with these Gentiles. So Paul, as we see it, as his manner was, as he went from city to city, they would go to the synagogues first and preach to the Jews. Paul told us there in Romans 1 that it was to the Jews first and also to the Gentiles. And that was his manner. They'd go into the cities. If there were Jews there, they would preach to the Jews and then preach to the Gentiles. And so he was preaching to the Jews here, and there were Gentiles that were also there that heard what was going on. We see the craving that these Gentiles had for the message that was being preached by Paul. It says that the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them in the next Sabbath. That word besought means to implore, to beg. And it wasn't just a one-time thing. They kept begging. They kept imploring. And they wanted to hear these words. They wanted to hear this message, these words of eternal life, the message of the forgiveness of sins and justification of through faith that Paul had already preached to the Jews. They want to hear these words. Their empty religion did nothing for them. Their empty religion did not provide for them what they caught a glimpse of in these words that Paul was preaching. The Spirit of God was working in their heart, giving them a hunger for the Word of God. Matthew Henry, speaking of their begging, it says that they begged that the same offer might be made to them that was made to the Jews. Paul, in his sermon, had brought the word of salvation to the Jews and proselytes, but had taken no notice of the Gentiles, and therefore they begged that forgiveness of sins through Christ might be preached to them as it was to the Jews. The Jews' leavings, nay, loathings, were their longings. They longed to hear those words. There are many who are ignorant of the Scriptures. They know very little about the things that we take for granted. As we open up God's Word day by day, we read God's Word. We hear God's Word taught and preached week after week. And we take little notice of some things that they've never even heard of. They didn't have a Christian home to be with Christian parents that loved them, that taught them the Word of God, that would bring them to a place where the Bible was being preached, where other believers were there that actually had a desire to live according to the Word of God. So many have never enjoyed that. They've never had even the opportunity to be exposed to the gospel, as some of us have grown up in. And because of this, their hearts are fertile. Their hearts are even soft to the gospel. When they hear the truth, the Holy Spirit is able to convict them and convert them, and because they're not gospel hardened. This ought to be a great encouragement to us as we go out and witness, that it ought to challenge us to get to the task. Because I believe the world, I know the world is full of people like this. Full of people like this. I believe there's hundreds of millions of people that are like this. We don't see it so much around us. And I believe that's, as you look around the world at places that are hungry for the gospel, so often it's in those places where the gospel has not been around for very long. Where the gospel has been around for hundreds of years, you've seen those places where it's a hard field. Why? Because when God's word is preached, people must respond to it. They have to. And as people either receive it in joy and respond to it properly, or get hardened to it, they reject, they don't want to hear it, and they get hardened to it, and they raise their children to be hardened to that word. In those places that have had the gospel for a while, we find as hard mission fields, because people are hardened to it. But there are others that are not. And I say that in all confidence, if you look in Revelation chapter 7. This is during the tribulation time. So often we hear preached, you need to get saved now before Christ returns. And that's true for those of you, if you've heard the gospel, you need to get saved now. Paul tells us in Thessalonians that God's going to send a strong delusion to those that have heard the truth and have rejected the truth. Don't think that you're going to wait till later. Wait till you see the Antichrist. Wait till you see all these things in Revelation come to pass. And then you'll believe. No, then you'll just go right along with the rest of the sheep. I believe your heart will be hardened where you will gladly take the mark of the beast. You'll gladly go down that road. Because you've heard it, you've been hardened to it. But for those that have not heard, look at here in Revelation 7, beginning in verse number 9. This is a marvelous passage. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What a marvelous picture here. A great multitude which no man can number that have come out of the great tribulation. Come out of the great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Listen, I don't know when the Lord's returning. Don't know when that's going to take place there in Revelation 7. But I believe some of those people there in Revelation 7, they're alive today. And we could reach them with the gospel today if we get to them. There are those that are hungry for the gospel, like we see here in our text. These Gentiles that were steeped in religion, but were ignorant about the truth of Christ. They were soft and ready to respond. They want to hear more of the truth that Jesus saves, he forgives, that he justifies. They wanted to hear that. And unlike the Jews that had forsaken the fountain of living water for a broken system which could hold no water, here are those that had, they're used to that. They've been brought up on that, the muddy water of their religion. They've grown up on that stagnant water that knew that was nothing, was worth nothing. And now they're hearing about this living water and they want it, they desire to hear more. The next Sabbath, they want to hear about Christ. And then there's another group in verse number 43. Sitting when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. Here are those that were part of that Jewish crowd that believed. Part of those that were following the Jews' religion, whether Jews themselves or proselytes to them, when hearing the message of Christ, believed that, yes, Jesus was the Christ. And they followed Paul and Barnabas. That word follow means to be in the same way, to accompany with, to be a disciple. To learn as a disciple, to imitate someone that you're following. So I believe these were true disciples that wanted to know more about Christ, and they believed the gospel. They became disciples of Christ, and Paul encouraged them just as Christ encouraged those that the Jews that believed on him. He encouraged them, listen, you need to keep following. You know, the religious life, the Christian life is all about following Christ. Following Christ. Last week, last Sunday evening, we went down to the arch to watch the fireworks. And as we were walking along, we were telling Miriam to, you need to, if you follow us, if you, you know, we were kind of two groups walking down the sidewalk, and we wanted her in front of us or following the group right in front of us. We knew where she was at, and that lasted for about 15 seconds. You know, then you wonder where she's at, and she's back behind walking very slow. So we go and take her hand and bring her up, drag her along, and she didn't like being dragged along. We weren't physically dragging her, but making sure that she stayed up with speed to us. Why? Because she wasn't following. She wasn't following. Listen, if someone needs to hold your hand in the Christian life, they need to hold your hand the whole time. Listen, you're not a follower. You're not following. Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him in John 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Continue means you're following along. You're keeping step. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John 15, verse 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branch. You see that abideth in me. That's a continual abiding. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them. Me and my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. What was Christ saying? You just need to follow me. Keep following me. And abide in my words, and stay right next to me, and follow, imitate my life, and follow me. That's the essence of Christianity. Being in the same way with Christ. He said, I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness. Listen, if you're walking in darkness, that means you're not following Christ. It means you're lagging behind. Follow him. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. The rich young ruler, when Christ told him, this is what you need to do, and the last thing, the last requirement, he says, you need to follow me. What's follow? He went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. We need to follow Christ. And so Paul was encouraging these in Acts 13, these Jews and religious proselytes that were disciples. He encouraged them to continue in the grace of God, to stick with it. To be there. They were saved by grace through faith. They were not to return to their works-based religion. And that was a big problem with a lot of the Jews. That was a big problem with a lot of the saved Jews. Paul addressed that often in their life. The whole book of Galatians was addressed to those that had begun right, began in faith, but now were thinking that they're going to be made perfect by the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 7, he says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Listen, how important it is that even as believers that we continue in the grace of God. That we continue understanding the gospel and knowing the gospel and hearing the gospel. Listen, when you're sitting we don't preach the gospel here. We don't preach through 1 Corinthians 15 every single Sunday here. Whenever you hear the gospel preached, believer, don't turn your ears off saying, I've done that. Listen, the gospel is just as important for you as a believer. It's just as important for you to hear it over wonderful words of life. What an encouragement it is when we hear the gospel. He's encouraging to continue in the grace of God. We need to be reminded on a daily basis what Christ has done for us. Paul told the Colossians, in Colossians 1, verse 21 through 23, it says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, ye now hath ye reconciled. So we need to be reminded of where we were and what God has done for us. It says, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Listen, we need to continue in the faith. We need to continue learning the gospel. We need to continue growing and continue abiding. It's not a one-time thing. I punch my time card. I just can't wait till the rapture happens or I die. Life that we're to live with the Lord. But there are others there, verses 44 through 46, that had an aversion to what they heard. They were also attentive to what they heard, but they had a great aversion to what was preached. In verses 44 through 46, we see that almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God the next Sabbath day. And as they gathered together, Paul preached to that crowd, not just to the Jews this time, but remember the Gentiles, they wanted to hear this message. The whole city was gathered together, almost the whole city, to hear Paul preach. The news of their message had spread. Paul and Barnabas, I'm sure, throughout the week were busy spreading the gospel as well. The Gentiles had heard about what was going on. They heard about the message. They heard about what Paul was going to do. And what was the purpose of their gathering? It says the whole city, almost the whole city, came together to hear the word of God. That's why they came. They came to hear the word of God. What they had heard so piqued their interest. What they had heard is so whet their appetite of what God had done for them. They wanted to hear it. They weren't coming to hear Paul. They weren't coming to hear Barnabas. The message is what they desire to hear. So often we get caught up in personalities. Certain preachers that we really like. There's a lot of popular preachers around the country, that if you listen to their messages, you're listening to them. You listen to their opinions, their thoughts, they may be very fine orators, but you're not listening to the Word of God because there's very little of the Word of God in their messages. We need to have a desire to hear the Word of God. And the message here is what they desired to hear. But there are some there that these Jews, and they saw the multitudes, it says in verse number 45, they were filled with envy. So they had a spirit about them that was different. They were filled with indignation and a jealousy about the popularity that now Paul and Barnabas had because of the message that they were preaching. Not only did they reject the gospel themselves, they were filled with anger that others wanted to embrace it. All these responses, we see these same responses today. We have those that hate the Word of God, and they don't want anyone else to hear the Word of God. Brother Theo experienced this in Las Vegas when he went the other week, and was 2 weeks ago, and they were passing out tracts. He experienced it. He experienced those that didn't just say no, thank you. We experienced those that hated the message that was being proclaimed and didn't want anyone else to hear that message either. We have it all around us. Jesus condemned the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 22, verse 13. He says, but woe unto you, scribes and the Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. What a spirit they had and a spite that they demonstrated. They spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Jude spoke of those that speak evil of those things which they know not. These Jews here had no idea about the transforming power of the gospel. They didn't know what it could do to their lives, how it could change their lives, and they still spoke against it. They had a spite and a rage against the word of God. And so Paul and Barnabas, both, we see in verse number 46, it says that they waxed bold. and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it far or put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. He said, there's a line that you had better not cross. They crossed it here with Paul. They crossed it. The Lord said in Deuteronomy 32, verse 21, says, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. We see that being fulfilled here in Acts 13. We see it many places throughout the book of Acts, where God's people, those claiming to be God's people, the Jewish people, moved God to jealousy with that which is not God. So they have provoked me to anger with their vanities, since I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. So with the Gentiles. See, I'm gonna make the Jews jealous through the Gentiles, through a foolish nation. We see that here being demonstrated. You know, they crossed the line. They had rejected the gospel. They had rejected the Messiah. They had rejected the Christ that was being preached to them. And now they provoked God to anger, to jealousy. Now God was provoking them to jealousy. Paul talks about Romans 10, verses 19 through 21. Romans 11, verses 11 and 12. Speaking of God's work among the Gentiles. But when the Gentiles heard that, they rejoiced at the prospect of Christ in verses 47 to 49. As Paul and Barnabas continue, says, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. Thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they had heard about these words the week before, had begged and besought that it be spoken to them. And now they're hearing this, that Paul and Barnabas are set to be a light of the Gentiles. That should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. That was them. They knew the gospel applied to them. It was for them. It wasn't just for certain people. Listen, you hear this morning, the gospel is not just for your parents, not just for your grandparents. The gospel is for you. When they heard this, they rejoiced. The hope that they had, the source of that hope, Paul says, for so hath the Lord commanded. Listen, the only source of hope that you have for your salvation, for the salvation of your soul, is found in the Word of God. That's the only source of hope you have. It's based upon the promises of God, for whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Where do we find that? It's in God's Word, John 3. It's in the Word of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gospel is the only source of hope you have, that you can have everlasting life. But it's the greatest source of hope, and it is a true hope that we have. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. At the very end of the book, in Revelation 22, in verse number 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The source of that hope, the Gentiles heard, the scope of that hope, is there to be for salvation unto the ends of the world. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because that's the scope of the gospel. When they heard that this salvation was to be proclaimed unto the ends of the earth, they knew that included them. It included them. There's a song, I don't know if it's in this hymn book. I don't remember the title of it now. He Included Me. Is that the title of the song? He Included Me, number 238 in our hymn book. What a great song. The Gentiles here were, in Acts 13 weren't singing this song, but I think they're singing a song like this. Jesus included me too. Jesus included me. Yes, he included me. When the Lord said, whosoever, he included me. Jesus included me. Yes, he included me. When the Lord said, whosoever, he included me. The Gentiles heard that and they rejoiced. They said that when they heard this, in verse number 48, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. The privilege here, we see the privilege that they considered it to be that they had heard these truths. When they heard it, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And so this should not be a light thing to you that you've been able to hear the gospel. It was something for these Jews, for these Gentiles to rejoice over. It was something from the very beginning, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, when Christ first came in the world, the angels came and said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. From the very beginning, it was a source of joy. We ought not to take it for granted. The priority here that they understood it to be, it said that as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. The Lord so worked in their heart and showed them the need for salvation that they came to Christ. They trusted Christ. Consider what they had already heard. In Acts 13, verse 40 to 41, beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despise and wonder and perish, for I work and work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. They'd already heard that warning given to the Jews. They already heard that the week before, as Paul preached to the Jews there in the synagogue. They had heard that warning. They understood the duty that they had to respond to the message, and they understood the danger that there was if they would delay in hearing this message. They'd already seen, here are the Jews, and they've been hearing this their whole life, and they're rejecting their Messiah, and they've been told now that they're despisers and they're rejectors, and now the message is given to us. We better not despise it. We better not reject it. We better not turn away from it. In Titus 3, verses 5 and 6, it says that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the Holy Spirit was working in their lives, convicting them, and they understood we can't turn away from this. We can't reject it like the Jews did. Listen, if the Holy Spirit's been working in your heart for salvation, you can't reject that. There's going to come a time when the Holy Spirit's not going to be either not speaking to your heart or you just completely ignoring it where you don't even hear it anymore. It's like when you go into a restaurant or a store and they're playing music and music that you don't like and you try to tune it out. I found this out this morning as I went to Panera Bread and got some coffee at 7 this morning on the way here. And I don't know what song was, I wasn't listening to the music that was playing, but as I was driving along Manchester Road to come to the church, whatever song they were playing, the tune jumped in my head. And a couple of the words jumped in my head. And I didn't even know what all the words were to the song. It was some secular song. And I was reminded that so often when we do tune out the gospel, the Lord does bring it back to our minds. And I know He's done that in your heart this morning. If you're lost, you've tuned out the gospel month after month, week after week. Listen, the Lord will continue to bring it to your mind. You can't reject the gospel forever without dire consequences. In verse number 49, we see the heralding that these did. It says that the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. In Psalm 68, it says that the Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. Here those, they heard the word of God, they responded to the word of God, and now they're going out and telling others what God had done. They become those that become acquainted with Christ themselves, they that have a personal relationship with Christ themselves, will do what they can to bring others to have that relationship. And so often, those that are first saved, that's what they're... So often as we continue on in the Christian life, we're just used to it. We hear the gospel all the time. We read the gospel all the time. We've experienced it, yes, but it's just become normal to us. And we no longer have that excitement to share it with the lost around us. We need to get back to being excited about sharing with the lost around us. So there was a resentment here by these Jews. They provoked others to animosity. They had a great hatred towards the truth. And the Bible tells us that hatred stirreth up strife. And that an angry man stirreth up strife. And here we see hatred towards the things of God and anger towards the things of God, towards the preachers of God. And they're stirring up strife. This was a great evidence of their lack of humility in their life, that they would not be taught by this Paul and Barnabas. This was their religion. We see the same attitude today by Jews, Orthodox Jews. How dare you Gentile teach me about God? I'm a Jew. The same attitude here. The Bible says that he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Great pride here. So there's persecution is ridden the coasts. And Paul talked about that in 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra." So he's talking about here in Acts 13. See, you know these things. These are what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We consider the witness against these, those that would stir up strife, those that were rejecting the gospel, those that were antagonistic against the gospel. We see the witness that was against them, even in the action by those that were cast out. What did Paul and Barnabas do? It says that they shook off the dust of their feet as a witness against them. Matthew 10 speaks of that. But the attitude of those that remained, the disciples were filled with joy. What disciples are these? The disciples, I believe, that remained there. The disciples that were still in town, Paul and Barnabas are kicked out. Those that were still there, the disciples that were still there, what was their attitude? Were they dejected and downcast because Paul and Barnabas were kicked out? No, they were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Why were they filled with joy? They had salvation, for one thing. And they saw the response of the gospel towards Paul and Barnabas. Yes, they were kicked out. There was persecution there. But to see the boldness of these men, to see what they went through to bring them the gospel, it brought joy to their heart. It ought to bring joy to our hearts. You think about Peter's boldness and John's boldness in Acts 4. Think about Stephen's boldness in Acts 7. Think about Paul's boldness here in Acts 13. Even when he first started preaching, it said that he was filled with the Holy Ghost and everyone put their eyes on him. Listen, the more that we relish and rejoice in the things of God, the Word of God, the fellowship we have in the Word of God, when we see others living that way, even in persecution, it ought to bring joy to us. It's a sad thing when you hear about believers in North Korea and China, in Vietnam and other places that are being persecuted for their faith. It's a sad thing, but I rejoice that there's believers that will stand up for the Word of God. I rejoice that there's believers that will lay down their lives for the Word of God. I rejoice that there's believers, and there will be till the end, that we already read there in Revelation 7, Revelation 12 that Paul read this morning in verse number 11. It says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And the next verse is, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the sea. The devil has come on down unto you having great wrath. But those in heaven, other God's people, those around the throne, rejoice. Why? Because here are some brothers and sisters in Christ that love not their lives unto the death, that testified with their lives, with their blood, that the gospel was true. It was true in their lives, and they're willing to live it and show it to be true all the way to the very end of their lives, even if the end of their life resulted at the end of a sword. And the Holy Spirit is in control of our lives. We'll have the courage and the strength to bear up under the most difficult of circumstances. Under the most difficult times of persecution, those that are walking in the Spirit, you will bring honor and glory to Him in those times. Why? Because the gospel is true and it transforms lives. And as you rejoice in that day by day and live it day by day, when it comes time to die for it, you'll rejoice in that as well. You've heard it said before, if you're not, people say that they're willing to die for Christ, but they won't live for Him. I said, if you won't live for Christ, you won't die for Him. When persecution arises, you'll fold. You'll give in. You'll do whatever it takes to get out of that. Or, if you're truly saved, maybe you won't get out of it, but you'll whimper and whine and cry and be such a horrible testimony through it that no glory is given to God through it. You want God to receive the glory in your life. And Brother Jed, will you come this morning?